It is Sunday. We have Sunday socials. We are still doing church online, but as from tomorrow, it's lockdown level one. Praise the Here. Who would have thought a couple of months back that we would be here at the beginning of October? And so from the 4th of October, we'll be heading back to our church venue on Sundays, and I'm looking forward to host you guys, see you guys, and connect with you once again. Now, we're continuing with our Holy Spirit series, and it's a privilege to step into your homes, and I'm trusting that the Lord will step into your hearts afresh and leave a beautiful deposit of faith with each and every one of us. We are continuing with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we looked at the gift of miracles. Andre beautifully also challenged us, let faith arise in you. And today, I just want to echo that. Let faith arise in you, and let faith arise in me. Charles Spurgeon says, to trust God in the light is nothing, but to trust Him in the dark, that is faith. That is faith. To trust God in the dark, that is faith. And so with darkness covering the earth, we need to be a people that walk by faith and not by sight. And so the next gift of the Holy Spirit is obviously then the gift of faith. And it's something that is near and dear to my heart, and I believe by the grace of God, something that the Lord has given to me personally as well. And I want you to come and desire with me this particular gift as well, so that the Lord can do mighty things in and through His church. Let us pray together and trust that God comes with His power and really touches our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You for the grace of Your gifts. We thank You for the grace of Your Holy Spirit in us and through our lives, in Your church and through Your church. We come and humble ourselves, Lord. We surrender ourselves afresh today. And say, Father God, can we come and connect with You? Can we come and receive the deposit of faith that You have for us today? Will You come, Holy Spirit, every single place where we are listening to this message, will You come and manifest God's goodness and love, His presence to each and every individual, each and every home that needs it today. For we are a church, and I believe Your bigger bride needs more faith, Lord. Let us get out of the wheelchairs, so to speak, as we heard last week, Lord. And may we be a people of faith. Not worshiping faith per se, but Lord, being a people that knows You, and because we know You, have great faith. Holy Spirit, have Your way. Have Your way, and have Your way, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, all of you guys know Angus Buchan by now, and that's a beautiful example of an individual that has laid down their lives and received Christ, and also received the gift of faith upon his life. And so, by now, everybody under the sun, I guess, in South Africa knows the story of the guy with the potatoes. Faith like potatoes, and where the Lord had led him to plant potatoes and trust for a potato harvest where it was actually totally absurd. It was not good timing nor the right place to try that, and yet the Lord miraculously gave him a great harvest. But the beauty of that is when we look at Angus's life, it was never about the chips or the mash of the potatoes, but the testimony and the authority of the faith and faithfulness of God in his life that still echoes today. And by the grace of that gift upon his life, people are up into a million gathering together to pray. People are gathering together in massive camps, and people all around the world are receiving the word of God because of the gift upon his life. A gift, a grace gift on his life. Was it about the chips and the mash? No. Is it about the material gain and the breakthrough? No, not at all. But it is about the testimony of who God is. And so the gift of faith can unlock the knowing of who God is. It can unlock the testimonies of who God really is. And may He come and just unlock again today and show us who He really is. Faith, I believe, is the reality of our relationship with God. And so the faith that echoes from my life is just echoing. It's just the sound of my relationship with Him. as I walk out my faith, as there's actions to my faith, it is just because of the intimacy and the relationship that I have with the Lord. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. And often in life, we find ourselves in circumstances where we can't be still, where we freak out, where we would like to have control, where we would like to have things work out. And yet the Lord comes, He asks us to surrender, to be still, but to know that He is God. And I believe that is true faith, is to know God. And from that knowing, to walk in faith and to get to know Him even better. We also know that without faith, we cannot please God. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, we cannot please God. And so faith is actually the petrol of our Christian life. And I'm trusting that you will fill up your tank today with me, that the Lord can really make us a people of great faith. What is faith? We should quickly ask one another. Faith is very simply the following: a complete trust or confidence in someone or something, a reliance, a dependence, hope, a trust, or a belief. A complete trust or a confidence in someone or something. Complete trust, confidence in someone or something. And so, obviously, faith is quite widely defined. But today we're going to talk about a biblical faith, because everybody out there has a belief system. They have faith in something or someone, or more often than not, in more than one thing. But we, as followers of Christ, are a people of biblical faith and trusting that we'll have a pure faith as well. And so the Word actually says that even the demons believe in Jesus. And so it is not having faith per se that we're after, but it is having the right faith, the correct faith, a purified faith, and as I said, a biblical faith that is quite important. In the week in preparation, the Lord just reminded me at the beginning of this year, we brought just a piano to our house that's been in the family for a couple of decades. And long story short, when you have a piano, like many other instruments, you constantly need to make sure that it is in tune. In other words, that when you do play a C or a G or an A, that it's actually truly making that beautiful note or sound that it should make. In other words, you can play a G on a piano that's totally false because it's been traveling all around the country, but when you tune it in and make sure that it is finely tuned, you will play a beautiful melody. You can play a beautiful song that actually sounds like a beautiful song. And so, in a nutshell, I was just reminded that I need to tune in my faith. There was an amazing gentleman that is well known around Cape Town that came to just come and tune in our piano. And he uses tuning forks. You just hit it, it makes the perfect sound, and then he makes sure that he tunes in the notes of the piano to the sound of the tuning fork. And so likewise, for us as believers, and especially in the culture, the Western culture we find ourselves in, we need to make sure that we are tuned in. That the faith, the belief system, the trust that we do carry is actually one that makes the right biblical sound. I think it's easy to remember. If you can see here, it's just a tuning fork that I have here, but it is important that we have both the Word and the Holy Spirit so that we can have a truthful faith in our hearts. For instance, I might believe that the Lord just wants to bless me. Yes, that is true. But what that blessing might be, I need to find in the Word of God. You know, the Word says true blessedness is this, that you will hear God and do what He says. That was Jesus' words. But yet, maybe in our subculture, sub-Christian culture, we might find people that think that true blessedness is having a flashy car, or having lots of money, or dining out all during the week, or whatever the case may be. And I don't want to place anybody or anything in a box, but I do believe we need to return to the Word and the Spirit and have that balance once again so that we can be tuned in when it comes to our faith. Maybe there's Christians out there that think that everybody will inevitably go to heaven, and you don't have to be responsible for your sin here on earth. Yet we know that only once we repent and receive Christ's forgiveness Can we be pardoned of our sins? And yes, there is something like hell. And so we need to be sure that the faith that we do carry is a biblical faith. Then we get to prophecies, etc. And in each case, I believe we need to return to the Word and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in me, the indwelling Spirit that is God's voice, but also the indwelling Spirit in other believers. If I'm playing a C or a G or an A, and this is my faith, metaphorically speaking, I need to make sure and say, hey, do you actually sense this that I am sensing? Are you hearing the same thing that I'm hearing? And is this in fact biblical? And so I want you to challenge you. Let us be sure to tune in our faith, to make the right sound, to make a beautiful melody, and to know that when we do play that C, that it is actually a C that we are playing for the Lord. And so I need to constantly do that. I constantly need to return to the Word of what I do carry in faith. So biblical faith is what we are after. We take the Word and the Holy Spirit, and we're trusting fellow believers to be in tune so that we can walk a true faith. Faith, the Word says, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So it is unseen. It sounds like gibberish to the world. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So it's substance. It's not fluff and bubbles. It's substance. And where do you find the substance? You firstly find it in your spirit, man. So within the Holy Spirit's blessing upon your spirit, you find this substance. Don't you use your head? Of course you do. But it's both head and spirit. Both mind and not only flesh. And so we need to make sure the source of our faith is in fact from the Spirit first. And then the Lord gives us understanding so that we wholeheartedly can follow after Him. Faith is the deliberate confidence in the character of God whose ways we may not understand at the time. Oswald Chambers said. So it is this unrelenting confidence that God is God and that He will do what He said and that He will whisper His truth to you through His Spirit and give it to you through His Word. We will walk by faith and not by sight. And so in my first sermon on the gifts, I said, hey guys, if there's no flow of the Holy Spirit in your life, there will obviously be no gifts. And if there's no faith, there will be no gifts. But I want to take it a bit further today and say, if we don't have an authentic, real relationship, day-to-day relationship with God, connecting in intimacy with Him, both His Word and His Spirit, there won't be any faith whatsoever. No relationship, no faith. And so I need to ask myself, how is my faith? Firstly, do I have faith? Yes. If I do, I tune it in. Yes. In line with the Word and the Spirit. But it stems from a real relationship with God the Father, being sons and daughters of the Lord. Because faith ultimately needs to look like something. Faith needs to look like something. Now, what is the types of faith that you get in the Word as we progress, as we go on to exploring the gift of faith? What is the types of faith? It's very simple, three things. Salvation faith. Christian faith, the second one, I just call it day-to-day faith. All believers have that faith, and then the gift of faith. Now, firstly, salvation faith. We can look in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." Salvation, and the faithful salvation is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So all believers have this salvation faith that has been given to or granted to them as grace by God. And so it's beautiful when we have our heart for our natural brothers and sisters and friends that don't know the Lord. You can say, Lord, come. It is by grace that you can grant someone salvation faith. Please grant them salvation faith to see you, to receive you, and then receive your spirit. Secondly, another faith that we all carry as believers, it's just day-to-day faith. And there we'll find it in Romans 12 verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. A measure of faith. And so all believers have faith. Don't think that faith is a gift that only certain. All believers obviously have faith. Biblical faith. And then the word here says a measure of faith. And so now there's a measure of faith that was given to God by all, given to all of us by God. The question now is, Am I truly walking in the fullness of the measure of faith that the Lord has given me? And if not, say, Lord, I want to walk in the full potential of the measure of faith that you've granted me. How do you untap that? I believe day-to-day relationship. Getting to know Him. The irony, the beautiful irony is that you need faith to know God. You need faith to believe in God, and then you need faith to grow in knowledge of knowing God. But as you grow in knowing and not in the knowledge of God, as you get to know Him intimately, your faith grows as well. And so it's just this beautiful kind of strange tension we find ourselves in. We have to have faith in God to get to know Him. Yet, as we get to know Him, we grow in faith and intimacy. And as I grow in more and more faith with the Lord, I also grow in surrender. I grow in trust. I grow in that I'll bank on anything you say. I've been through seasons where I cannot trust myself, but I can still trust God. And that's a beauty, a place of beauty and surrender, and a place of grace and protection. Where I realize, man, I can't trust myself. I can't trust my emotions. I can't trust what I think and feel at this stage. I've not been tuning in my faith here, but I still trust the one that knows. I trust that as I look to Him and seek Him, that He'll be good and He'll be faithful and He'll lead me through whatever I'm going. And so let's walk in the fullness of the measure of faith that the Lord has given us. I wrote down, unbelief is not a lack of potential, rather a lack of practice and relationship. In other words, when you struggle with unbelief, when you struggle with having faith, it's not that the potential is not there. It's not that the measure is not there. It's maybe we're not practicing it. Maybe we're not using it. It's having that proverbial bank account and the card, but just not using it. And so I want you to tap into the faith that the Lord has given you, which brings us to the gift of faith, what we are exploring today, what we're trusting the Lord for today. Now, I believe many of you have heard of George Muller. He was just an amazing man of God, a man of prayer and faith that lived in England. He spread the gospel in 42 countries in the 1800s, right around the world. But the beautiful part of his story that really struck a chord in my heart, and the gift of faith that was obviously operating in his life, was that he also oversaw and took managing of a couple of orphanages in England. Now, it is said that it was up to 120,000 children that benefited from these orphanages. And he was a man of faith and prayer, and obviously he needed that faith and he needed that prayer life to do such a mammoth task back in the day. He journaled a lot, and from his journal they took the following, which I would love to read to you, which just beautifully explains to us the pressures and the darkness that often face somebody with the gift of faith. But yet through prayer and intimacy with God and an wholehearted trust, a faith, a substance faith, trust in God, the Lord comes through. Let's read. One morning, all the plates and the cups and bowls on the table were empty. There was no food in the larder and no money to buy food. The children were standing, waiting for their morning meal, when Muller said, "Children, you know we must be in time for school." Then lifting up his hands, he prayed, "Dear Father, we thank Thee for what Thou art going to give us to eat." Love the faith. There was a knock on the door. The baker stood there and said, "Mr. Muller, I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow I felt you didn't have bread for breakfast, and the Lord wanted me to send you some. So I got up at 2 a.m. and baked some fresh bread and have brought it." Mr. Muller thanked the baker, and no sooner had he left when there was a second knock at the door. It was the milkman. He announced that his milk cart had broken down right in front of the orphanage, and he would like to give the children his cans of fresh milk so that he could empty his wagon and repair it. How beautiful is this moment of breakthrough in a dire situation where he had nowhere to go, nothing to do, but yet through a simple prayer, I believe backed up by days and days and nights and nights and nights of prayer beforehand and just walking in that relationship and trust with God, seeing God come through for them there at number 99.9. Maybe you've got a testimony like that that you can share with someone. Maybe you have that gift on your life, but you feel like it's laying dormant there, not being used. I trust that the Lord will activate those gifts in our lives so that His kingdom can come in a very dark, dark world. Now, the spiritual gift obviously is given to some believers and not all. I do believe, and I want to encourage you, all of us can desire the spiritual gift. You can ask God, say, Lord, give me a gift of faith. Be careful also what you ask for, but you can ask Him. And so we also know that it is for the common good of others. It is for the church. And we see this in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Or another translation, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And so when you have this gift, it's not to boast. It is a gift. It is grace. But it's grace that needs to be used so that it can bless others. It can echo into other people's lives. Is it about the mash and the chips of Uncle Angus? No. It is about the testimony and the authority that he carries, saying that I know God, and hey, this is who He is. That's what the gift of faith does. It says, this is my God. Look how He helped me in this darkness. This is who He is. And that reflection, that salt and that light, nobody can argue against a testimony. And so what is the testimonies in your life? I want to call them out. Those to come and those that need to come, I want to call out those testimonies. So that we, like Muller, like Angus, and like millions of other believers around the world, can have a testimony, not about us, but a reflection of who He is. The gift is a special gift whereby the Spirit provides Christians with extraordinary confidence in God's promises, power, and presence. Extraordinary confidence. It flows from intimacy, I believe, and getting to know the Lord, but it is also supernatural, not for the benefit of the individual, but for the common good of all, as we've seen. It's used to edify other people. It's used to lift them up. And so when you see somebody in darkness, or when they are facing a mountain, you can come and stir faith again. You can see what the Lord wants to do. You can have substance. You can have evidence. Remember, that's faith. Of the unseen, and call forth those things that are not, as if they already are. Don't tell me Christianity is boring. I think if we just let ourselves into those places of risk, upon the waters as we step out of the boat, if we just trust the Lord as He wants to lift us up and do mighty feats through our life for the benefit of others, we will see the miraculous. We will see these gifts of faith bringing glory to His name and showing a broken world who He really is. It's not about the chips and the mash, but it is about our God. And I'm trusting that He will do much more in our lives. The gift of faith is there to inspire other believers. And so again, it's not so that you can get the t-shirt, get the cap, get it on your profile pic, get it on Facebook, etc. No, no, it's there so that they can see who God really is. And that we can trust God. That we can trust His character. That we can trust His word. That we can trust His goodness. When you look at Noah, when you look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when you look at Daniel, when you look at David, when you look at Paul, when you look at Christ, when you look at Stephen, and I can go on and on and on, and you can go and look at Hebrews 11. When you go and look at these heroes of faith, what do they reflect? Our God is a good God. Our God can be trusted. Our God loves us. He knows what He's doing, and He is faithful. See, here's my story. It's a reflection of my God. It is a reflection of my God. What are we reflecting? What is the relationship echoing? What is the sound of our faith making? Does it echo the Word, or does it echo our pop culture? Does it echo the Holy Spirit, the pure Holy Spirit, or does it echo the sounds of our Western ways? I trust that it will echo our God. The gift of faith helps us to believe when things seem to be impossible. We know Matthew 19 says, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And so when the Lord gives someone a gift of faith, He can unlock that, graciously unlock that too. When he faces impossibility, or when God's people or an individual out there face absolute impossibilities, he can say, well, this is impossible with man, but it is possible with God. Remember, the gift is supernatural. It is supernatural. And it is God's mighty work, His Holy Spirit mighty work here with us on earth. You remember Christ said in the Lord's Prayer, let your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. I believe by the gift of faith, we can unlock that to see what is God's kingdom reality, His heavenly reality, be manifested in someone's life. That we can see beauty instead of ashes, that we can see healing, that we can see provision, that we can see redemption and restoration and salvation, because we can let, we can see the unseen and see how it manifests. We can see and say, thank you, God, breakfast are gonna come, and then we see breakfast on the plate. And provided for the kids. And so I trust that the Holy Spirit will encourage you. Now, in my own life, by the grace of God, I believe He's given me a gift of faith. And again, it's to glorify Him. And so in our church, you already know the story by now. And forgive me for just briefly referring to it. But in 2007, around 2007 or 8, the Lord just said to myself and Edna, back up and go. And so a year later, only after lots of other testimonies, we moved out to the countryside, which was a dream of our heart. We moved to Malmesbury to eventually go and settle in the Ribeira Castile. And so the Lord led us through that. We were accountable about it. We sensed the Lord on it, and we knew that He was speaking to us, yet we didn't understand. We didn't know all the steps. And so we moved out. Edna left a job as a teacher because we had Frida. And so life was grand. We were just trusting for the right job. And then I lost my job here in Cape Town as a lawyer. And there I am, retrenched with a family in this dorpie that the Lord had sent us to. And so 5 years of our life ensued. And so a beautiful time of getting to know the Lord. And I wish I had time to share all the testimonies. Every single cent, every single breakthrough, every single testimony I journaled and I wrote down. But in that time, I got to know God. I got to know the God of the Word much more than I ever did before. For about 3.5 of those years, we were totally without income. Here and there, we would bring in some money with catering or this, that, and the other, but nothing really substantial. And yet, in that time, three times I was lined up with employment, twice in the legal fraternity and once in ministry, and all three times the Lord said to me, that's not your jobs. And so even having no income and feeling like an absolute idiot at that stage, I had to say no to these jobs, because the Lord had asked me to trust Him more than anything else. I remember mornings where He would say, today, you guys drive out to Cape Town and go shopping. And I knew, well, we didn't have a single cent. We couldn't go shopping. And then the Lord will convict me and He would ask me, are you going to look at your bank account or are you going to look at me? And so in these small moments, but yet big moments, I got to know the Lord. We would drive out to have a stunning day. God will miraculously provide for us. We'll return with our tanks full, not with a boot full of shopping, but with a heart full of faith, getting to know our God. I also remember a time where we had a birthday party for Frida, and again, that in itself was a step of faith. And we then, on the day, took our last money. And even my mother gave us a couple of bucks to go buy platters for the parents. And so we had this beautiful party, again, through prayer and intimacy with the Lord, just trusting Him and having faith that He is faithful, that He will provide. And after this nice party and after cleaning up, I remember thinking, okay, my mom needs to get home. She doesn't have money for petrol, and she doesn't have petrol in her car. And it just struck me, and fear and anxiety struck my heart in that moment, thinking, what have you done? And again, I would just go back in prayer, humbling myself. Because, you know, the Word says, the Lord uses the foolish things of this world to despise the wise. He sometimes, as we humble ourselves and become childlike, we can have so much fun with Him. But if we're full of pride, we miss the lifestyle and the life of true Christianity. We miss out on that relationship with God. I just felt led to go look in our bank account, on our internet banking. And in that moment, I saw that a payment had come through for a catering once of catering thing that Edna had planned to do for someone. They had never before paid beforehand, only afterwards if she had done a catering job for them. But for the first and only time, they paid about 3 or 4 days beforehand. And so in that moment, the Lord just came through, and I just saw His hand in those little moments. I remember another time when we had to go to a family wedding in Gauteng, and here we are not having anything to pay towards airfare, but yet the Lord just stirred a faith in our heart. And one morning the Lord said to me, sell your car and buy tickets. And I know if you're big on stewardship, that sounds like absolute gibberish, but I believe that it was the Lord, and I was accountable about it. In other words, my faith was tuned in. Is this biblical? Yes, because He will provide today. I don't need not worry for tomorrow. Is it the Spirit? Yes, because I've asked other people and I was accountable about it. And so I sold our car. It brought a bit of tension in our home, but at the end of the day, there was unity. And so I bought the tickets. We went to the wedding, had a beautiful time. Nobody knew about it, because God had told us not to ask people for money. He said, you ask the head. In other words, you ask Christ. Don't ask the hand. Look to Christ, not to the hand. Yes, you might use the hand, but look to my provision. Look to Christ. Look to God Himself when it comes to provision. And so we came back, and now I had a little bit of money left. And I'm like, okay, cool. What do I buy with this, Lord? Where am I going to find a vehicle for these peanuts? Long story short, the Lord just said to me, live off the money. And I'm like, whoa, okay, what are we going to do? Borrowed a bucky from somebody for a week, and I'm thinking, Lord, what now? I'm in so much trouble. I'm in the darkness now, Lord. I'm under pressure now. And beautifully, one afternoon, I got a call from Duval, and he said, hey, just quickly pop in by my office. And I went to him, and he said, hey, somebody came to the church office and said God had spoken to them to bless you guys with a car. And I remember crying in that moment and realizing that our God is faithful. Our God is real. And nobody can ever take that testimony, that moment from my heart. Nobody can ever take that pressure away. But after that pressure, the beauty of it. All mothers will tell you it's intense to carry a baby for 9 months, and you hurt and you just want to get it over and done with. But with the moment the breakthrough, the moment you hold that little one, you forget about the pain. You forget about all the tension. You forget about all the pressure. And then new pressure comes. But it is as sweet when the Lord comes through with His promises. And so I want to ask you, do you want to walk in such faith? Do you want to humble yourself? Become childlike again. Trust Him with all your heart and be radically obedient to see Him and to get to know Him, but also to reflect Him to others. I believe many of you guys have the gift of faith, but I believe we need to activate it and we need to walk in obedience as the Lord leads us. You see, there will be pressure and discomfort if you've got this. There will be darkness and there will be pressure. But the beauty is that the Lord's light and breakthrough will come. And I want to encourage you with that. Lastly, Abram. Abram had faith, and he had a gift of faith, I believe. And so he believed God that even up to the age of 99, with him and Sarah, Urimir, they had a young one. And we still carry that seed of faith in our hearts. This is who we are. This is who you are. You are a people of faith. You are a people called for faith, to live by faith and not by sight. We are Abram's seeds. Obvious Abraham's seed after Christ, but we are a people of faith, and we're called to live by faith, to know God, to trust God, to see His ways come to fruition, not just gibberish, not just head knowledge, but to see Him manifest His faithfulness and then to reflect that to others. Is it about the party we had for Frida? Is it about going to the wedding and being blessed by a car? Is it about the material things? No. It is about who our God is. It is about the authority that we can carry when we have seen Him be what His Word promises He is. I challenge you. I implore you. Live this out. Get to know Him and walk by faith. I want to pray for you. God, I thank You for Your grace on us today. Thank You, Lord, that we've been called to be a people of faith. Lord, thank You we will live by faith and not by sight. Lord, thank You that we will grow in intimacy with You. And Lord, thank You that You've given Your body, Your bride, the gift of faith. Lord, thank You. Sometimes there's an extraordinary faith that is inexplicable to man that we can possess by Your grace, by Your Spirit, so that Your kingdom can come. Lord, I call forth, let your kingdom come and let your will be done. Lord, I pray that you will blow your breath, your ruach, your life again on each and every gift of faith that is listening to this message today, Lord. I pray for an activation, Lord, in Jesus' name, of every gift of faith that ever listens to this message in Jesus' name, and that mighty feats, mighty things of God, mighty works of God will be done through these lives, Lord. That in spite of pressures, Father God, that in spite of persecution, Father God, in spite of culture and going against the grain and going upstream for the Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that your hand will be seen among the nations, Lord. I pray that revival will be seen among the nations, Lord, and I'll pray that the people will get to know you. Beautiful, perfect, good God, a loving Father, a one that is the lover of our souls, the one is that is the only true living God. I pray that the gifts will be activated today, that through your Spirit we will see mighty miracles. In Jesus' name. Lord, I also lastly pray for all of us to be tuned in. To be tuned in that our faith will be a biblical faith, a pure faith, a godly faith, a loving faith. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, and I just declare, have your way. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. I wish we were together today. We could have gone on for many hours. Because I sense that the Lord's Spirit wants to do so much. So open up, desire the gift of faith, but then trust Him as you're going to need it and as you're going to reflect Him for the nations. God bless. Bye.